1 Timothy Chapter 1 From Paul, a missionary of Jesus Christ, sent out by God our Savior and by Jesus Christ our Lord our only hope. Timothy, you are like a son to me in the things of the Lord. May God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord show you his kindness and mercy and give you great peace of heart and mind. 3:4 As I said when I left for Macedonia, please stay there in Ephesus, and try to stop the men who are teaching such wrong doctrine. Put an end to their myths and fables, and their idea of being saved by finding favor with an endless chain of angels leading up to God, wild ideas that stir up questions and arguments instead of helping people accept God's plan of faith. 5. What I am eager for is that all the Christians there will be filled with love that comes from pure hearts, and that their minds will be clean and their faith strong. 6. But these teachers have missed this whole idea and spend their time arguing and talking foolishness. 7. They want to become famous as teachers of the laws of Moses when they haven't the slightest idea what those laws really show us. 8. Those laws are good when used as God intended. 9. But they were not made for us, whom God has saved. They are for sinners who hate God, have rebellious hearts, curse, and swear, attack their fathers and mothers, and murder. 10, 11, yes, these laws are made to show up the sin of those who are immoral and impure, for homosexuals, kidnappers and liars and anyone else who does anything that contradicts the glorious gospel of our blessed God, whose messenger I am. 12, how thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for choosing me as one of his messengers, and giving me the strength to be faithful to him. 13, even though I used to scoff at the name of Christ, I hunted down his people, harming them in every way I could. But God had mercy on me because I didn't know what I was doing, for I didn't know Christ at that time. 14. Oh, how kind our Lord was, for he showed me how to trust him and become full of the love of Christ Jesus. 15. How true it is, and how I long that everyone should know it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and I was the greatest of them all. 16. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as an example to show everyone how patient he is with even the worst sinners, so that others will realize that they too can have everlasting life. 17. Glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the King of the ages, the unseen one who never dies, he alone is God, and full of wisdom. Amen. 18. Now Timothy, my son, here is my command to you. Fight well in the Lord's battles, just as the Lord told us you would through his prophets. 19. Cling tightly to your faith in Christ and always keep your conscience clear, doing what you know is right. For some people have disobeyed their consciences and have deliberately done what they knew was wrong. It isn't surprising that soon they lost their faith in Christ after defying God like that. 20. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples of this. I had to give them over to Satan to punish them until they could learn not to bring shame to the name of Christ. Chapter 2. Here are my directions: pray much for others, plead God's mercy upon them, give thanks for all he is going to do for them. 2. Pray in this way for kings and all others who are in authority over us, or are in places of high responsibility, so that we can live in peace and quietness, spending our time doing good and thinking much about the Lord. 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior. 4. For he longs for all to be saved and to understand this truth. 5. That God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus, himself man, is between them to bring them together. 6. By giving his life for all mankind. This is the message which at the proper time God gave to the world. 7. And I have been chosen. This is the absolute truth as God's minister and missionary to teach this truth to the Gentiles, and to show them God's plan of salvation through faith. 8. So I want men everywhere to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from sin and anger and resentment. 9. 10. And the women should be the same way, quiet and sensible in manner and clothing. Christian women should be noticed for being kind and good, not for the way they fix their hair or because of their jewels or fancy clothes. 11. Women should listen and learn quietly and humbly. 12. I never let women teach men or lord it over them. Let them be silent in your church meetings. 13. Why? Because God made Adam first, and afterwards he made Eve. 14. And Adam was not fooled by Satan, but Eve was, and sinned as a result. 15. So God sent pain and sorrow to women when their children are born, but He will save their souls if they trust in Him, living quiet, good, and loving lives. Chapter 3. It is a true saying that if a man wants to be a pastor, he has a good ambition. 2. For a pastor must be a good man whose life cannot be spoken against. He must have only one wife, and he must be hardworking and thoughtful, orderly, and full of good deeds. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and must be a good Bible teacher. 3. He must not be a drinker or quarrelsome, but he must be gentle and kind, and not be one who loves money. 4. He must have a well-behaved family, with children who obey quickly and quietly. 5. For if a man can't make his own little family behave, how can he help the whole church? 6. The pastor must not be a new Christian, because he might be proud of being chosen so soon, and pride comes before a fall. Satan's downfall is an example. 7. Also, he must be well spoken of by people outside the church, those who aren't Christians, so that Satan can't trap him with many accusations and leave him without freedom to lead his flock. 8. The deacons must be the same sort of good, steady men as the pastors. They must not be heavy drinkers and must not be greedy for money. 9. They must be earnest, wholehearted followers of Christ who is the hidden source of their faith. 10. Before they are asked to be deacons, they should be given other jobs in the church as a test of their character and ability, and if they do well, then they may be chosen as deacons. 11. Their wives must be thoughtful, not heavy drinkers, not gossipers, but faithful in all they do. 12. Deacons should have only one wife and they should have happy, obedient families. 13. Those who do well as deacons will be well rewarded both by respect from others and also by developing their own confidence and bold trust in the Lord. 14. I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. 15. So that if I don't come for a while, you will know what kind of men you should choose as officers for the Church of the Living God, which contains and holds high the truth of God. 16. It is quite true that the way to live a godly life is not an easy matter. But the answer lies in Christ, who came to earth as a man, was proved spotless and pure in his spirit, was served by angels, was preached among the nations, was accepted by men everywhere and was received up again to his glory in heaven. Chapter 4. But the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some in the church will turn away from Christ and become eager followers of teachers with devilish ideas. 2. These teachers will tell lies with straight faces and do it so often that their consciences won't even bother them. 3. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat meat, even though God gave these things to well-taught Christians to enjoy and be thankful for. 4. For everything God made is good, and we may eat it gladly if we are thankful for it. 5. And if we ask God to bless it, for it is made good by the word of God and prayer. 6. If you explain this to the others, you will be doing your duty as a worthy pastor who is fed by faith and by the true teaching you have followed. 7. Don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths and legends. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. 8. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important and is a tonic for all you do. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life too. 9. 10. This is the truth and everyone should accept it. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe it, for our hope is in the living God who died for all, and particularly for those who have accepted His salvation. 11. Teach these things and make sure everyone learns them well. 12. Don't let anyone think little of you because you are young. Be their ideal. Let them follow the way you teach and live, be a pattern for them in your love, your faith, and your clean thoughts. 13. Until I get there, read and explain the scriptures to the church, preach God's word. 14. Be sure to use the abilities God gave you through His prophets when the elders of the church laid their hands upon your head. 15. Put these abilities to work, throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone may notice your improvement and progress. 16. Keep a close watch on all you do and think. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. Chapter 5. Never speak sharply to an older man, but plead with him respectfully just as though he were your own father. Talk to the younger men as you would to much-loved brothers. 2. Treat the older women as mothers, and the girls as your sisters, thinking only pure thoughts about them. 3. The church should take loving care of women whose husbands have died if they don't have anyone else to help them. 4. But if they have children or grandchildren, these are the ones who should take the responsibility, for kindness should begin at home, supporting needy parents. This is something that pleases God very much. 5. The church should care for widows who are poor and alone in the world if they are looking to God for His help, and spending much time in prayer. 6. But not if they are spending their time running around gossiping, seeking only pleasure, and thus ruining their souls. 7. This should be your church rule so that the Christians will know and do what is right. 8. But anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than the heathen. 9. A widow who wants to become one of the special church workers should be at least 60 years old and have been married only once. 10. She must be well thought of by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers as well as to other Christians? Has she helped those who are sick and hurt? Is she always ready to show kindness? 11. The younger widows should not become members of this special group because after a while they are likely to disregard their vow to Christ and marry again. 12. And so they will stand condemned because they broke their first promise. 13. Besides, they are likely to be lazy and spend their time gossiping around from house to house, getting into other people's business. 14. So I think it is better for these younger widows to marry again and have children, and take care of their own homes, then no one will be able to say anything against them. 15. For I am afraid that some of them have already turned away from the church and been led astray by Satan. 16. Let me remind you again that if you have relatives who are widows, you must take care of them. Don't leave it to the church. Then the church can spend its money keeping widows who are all alone and have nowhere else to turn. 17. Pastors who do their work well should be paid accordingly and be highly appreciated, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. 18. For the scriptures say, "Never tie up the mouth of an ox when it is treading out the grain, let him eat as he goes along." And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. 19. Don't listen to complaints against the pastor unless there are two or three witnesses to accuse him. 20. If he has really sinned, then he should be rebuked in front of the whole church so that no one else will follow his example. 21. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the holy angels to do this whether the pastor is a special friend of yours or not. All must be treated exactly the same. 22. Never be in a hurry about choosing a pastor or you may overlook his sins and then it will look as if you approve of them. Be sure that you yourself stay away from all sin. 23. By the way, this doesn't mean you should completely give up drinking wine. You ought to take a little sometimes as medicine for your stomach because you are sick so often. 24. Remember that some men, even pastors, lead sinful lives and everyone knows it. In such situations, you can do something about it. But in other cases, only the judgment day will reveal the terrible truth. 25. In the same way, everyone knows how much good some pastors do, but sometimes their good deeds aren't known until long afterward. Chapter 6. You Christian slaves should work hard for your owners and respect them. Never one at it be said that Christ's people are poor workers. Don't let the name of God and His teaching be laughed at because of you. 2. If your owner is a Christian, don't slow down just because he is your brother. Work all the harder because you know that a beloved Christian is being helped by your work. Teach these truths, Timothy, and encourage all to obey them. 3. Some may deny these things, but they are the sound, wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and are the foundation for a godly life. 4. Anyone who says anything different is both proud and stupid. He is quibbling over the meaning of Christ's words and stirring up arguments ending in jealousy and anger, and that leads to name-calling and evil suspicions. 5. These men who argue, their minds warped by sin, don't know how to tell the truth, To them, the gospel is just a means of making money. Keep away from them. 6. Do you want to be truly rich? You already are if you are happy and good. 7. After all, we didn't bring any money with us when we came into the world, and we can't carry away a single penny when we die. 8. So we should be well satisfied without money if we have enough food and clothing. 9. But people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded and finally send them to hell itself. 10. For the love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. Some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it, and as a result have pierced themselves with many sorrows. 11. O Timothy, you are God's man. Run from all these evil things and work instead at what is right and good, learning to trust Him and love others, and to be patient and gentle. 12. Fight on for God. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has given you, and which you have confessed with such a ringing confession before many witnesses. 13. I command you before God who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus who gave a fearless testimony before Pontius Pilate. 14. That you fulfill all He has told you to do, so that no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. 15. For in due season Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. 16. Who alone can never die, who lives in light so terrible that no human being can approach Him. No mere man has ever seen Him, nor ever will. Unto Him be honor and everlasting power and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 17. Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money which will soon be gone, but their pride and trust should be in the living God who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others what God has given them. 19. By doing this they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here. 20. O Timothy, don't fail to do these things that God entrusted to you. Keep out of foolish arguments with those who boast of their knowledge and thus prove their lack of it. 21. Some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. May God's mercy be upon you all. Sincerely, Paul.